for tuning in to the Illuminations podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. I'm your host, Nia. I'm your clinical therapist, sound therapist, and yoga teacher at Illuminations. So I am now back with another guest. I have a very, very exciting topic for you guys today. It's a little bit different than what we usually do. So let me introduce our speaker for today. So today we have CJ,
that's
aka Chiranjeev Malhotra. He is 30 years old. He was born and raised in Dubai. CJ brings together his 15 years of experience in health and fitness space alongside the latest science-based knowledge on health, wellness, human performance, longevity, brain health, disease prevention, and much more. So the topic of today is all about introduction to biohacking and why technology is essential in wellness. So let's just dive straight in. Welcome to the show,
Thank
CJ.
You. It's a pleasure to be here.
I am glad that you're here today and I can't wait to get started on this conversation. So let's start from the basic. Please explain to me and our listeners, what exactly is biohacking?
Perfect. Let's jump right in. Biohacking. So if you split this word into two, it comes bio, which is biology, and hacking, which most of the people who are listening to this show might be familiar with the computer hacking, computer hacker trying to get into a system or a software because they don't like the way it operates. So biohacking, on the same principle, is when you try to hack into your biology just because your biology isn't working as you want. Now, there are many parts to biohacking. When I say biohacking, it's an umbrella term for brain health, heart health, cellular health, anti-aging, wellness, sleep, and then you can push it beyond where people are having this transhuman experiences where they're putting chips into their fingers and using RFID chips. And that's the part that I prefer not to talk about because that is sort of like very futuristic. We don't have any evidence. We don't have any data. But what I would like to talk about on today's podcast is all the health, wellness, and even you could step it up to spiritual health and your spiritual muscles, like flexing those spiritual muscles using supplements, peptides, nature therapy, light, sound, vibration, even prayer. So all of these things tied in together. And I must be very clear that a lot of people think biohacking might just be shining some light or taking some supplements. No, it is not that. It is a holistic approach and a science-based holistic approach where you look at all parameters of health and you see how can you hack or what is the best way to hack your environment in order to get what you want from your biology. Now, that was pretty long, but I hope I kind of explained
it. No, but I love that. And I want you to tell me, like, why has it just popped up in this recent times now? Why did it just come up now? Why is it gaining popularity at the moment? And why is it so effective?
Two reasons why. Biohacking has been around for, I would say, decades. Well, yogis, traditional Chinese medicine practitioners, they were the initial biohackers because they realized upon even going back, alchemists and all of these people, they realized that there is a very big problem. They wanted to increase their king's or queen's lifespan. They didn't want them to like get hurt or sort of like get into this whole disease forming states that most people suffer in today's world. So what these guys decided was, let's use all the kind of data that they had available to them at that point and sort of use either tonics or either exercise routines or either breath work. Now, breath work is more than 10,000 years old. And it is one of the most effective biohacks even till date. You can use breath work to increase your heart rate. You can use breath work to sleep better. You can use breath work to relax. Yeah. You can use it for everything. Yeah. And what is that? It's something natural, but does everyone know how to do a breathwork practice? No. But these guys figured out that when you combine certain exhales, certain inhales, certain temperatures, you can alter your biology. So biohacking has been there for the longest period of time. And there can be multiple examples of this. Why has it gained popularity in the last few years is because of social media. A, because now all the biohackers that were doing a lot of these experiments can quantify their data and show it online. Like, I can tell you exactly how much I've slept last night. I can tell you how many hours was I in deep states of REM and deep sleep. I can tell you my heart rate variability, and I can share this all in a click of a button. And probably a lot of people around the world can get access to it. So there has been technology, there has been biofeedback, and people have had access to other people. That is why biohacking has popped up. And why is it so effective? Because again, as I mentioned, a lot of these things are self-experiments, correct? And if you're doing some kind of a self-experiment and you've had, like, let's say a sleep issue for a very long time, and after this podcast, and we'll share some sleep tips later, but you know that combining practice A, medicine B, sort of like a breathwork thing or like cold therapy can help you sleep better. The next day, most of the people are going to tell, and if you did get some value out of it, you're going to tell the world about it, at least your best friends or your family, because you want them to have like
experience the same
better
thing.
Sleep as well. So I think it's just this whole culture of sharing what we know has sort of elevated the biohacking thing. And because it works, because a lot of people, we have something in biology called as biochemical individuality. And let's break it down. Biochemical is our biologies. Chemical is how our cells react to certain chemical reactions. Yeah. And individuality is how you're different from me and I'm different from my neighbor, and my neighbor is different from his grandparents. So everyone has a different, unique biological footprint. And every time you use certain protocols, it works on some people, and on some people it doesn't. So this is why I think biohacking is so unique, and it's nice because everyone has their own experience and they sort of add something to it. So you could hear a trick from me, and then you could have an anecdotal evidence of your grandmother telling you a certain thing to add to it. And now you've just become a biohacker. You've tried to alter your biology by getting ideas, whether it's from ancient tribal medicine, whether it's from the latest science journals, or from, you know, just a friend on the street who told you something. You're going to try something? You are a biohacker. So we're all sort of biohackers in some way or the other because we want to achieve better health. We want to achieve peak performance. We want to achieve joy in everything that we do. And that is something that is really missing in today's world. And this is why I think biohacking is more effective, because it is sort of getting people that energy that they need to be a better parent, be a better child, and honestly, not like cursing in traffic anymore.
So from what you're trying to say, or from what you just said right now, what's coming to me is the very concept that is the lack of self-awareness that we have about, you know, our bodies, about the way we work. Because from what you're saying, it sounds like it should be a natural state of being or a natural way of life to be able to self-regulate and have this knowledge based on experience. But would you say we have been, what's the word that I'm looking for, desensitized to what our body needs and how we should be living because of culture norms or the way, the kind of lifestyle that we've been living? Like, because from what you're saying, it sounds common sense. Like if you are a certain body type, then some things might work for you, some things might not work for you. And it's our duty to find out what should and what shouldn't work out, right? Whereas instead, we then go to a doctor or a practitioner or someone else to figure out what that is. So what's your insight on that?
Okay, so that's a loaded question. Let me see how I can answer that in the most simplest way. So I would say that going to a doctor, going to a therapist, going to a professional is actually not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It is something that everyone should, because living healthy, living a natural life, yes, it should come naturally to us, but look around you. Let's look around the room right now. how much of anything in this room is natural? There is no natural light, so our eyes are getting the wrong signals from the studio lights that are coming in. We're next to Wi-Fi networks. We're next to a mic that has some kind of like a, well, there's magnetic waves, there's radio frequencies that we'll be talking about. And what this does is it opens, I mean, it does a lot of things, but let me give you one of the things. It opens up something in your body called as voltage-gated calcium channels, VGCC. Now, that's a loaded term. But what voltage-gated calcium channels do is that every time there's a radio frequency or a magnetic frequency, which is unnatural, we call this non-native electromagnetic frequencies, which we're surrounded by all the time. Mm. You're surrounded when you're in your car, when you're on the metro, when you're sitting in front of your computer. And these interfere with your body's own native electromagnetic frequencies. And what they do is they open up these voltage-gated calcium channels, which drives a lot of calcium into every cell in your body. Now, calcium is an excitatory substance. So when it comes into your cell, it excites the cell a lot. And after a certain point, the cell starts dying. And this is why when you have all of these cells that are dying, this is the biggest contributor in lack of energy, aging, and also a lot of toxic burden in your body. And this is just one pathway that I've described. There are multiple pathways on how living in an unnatural environment will sort of like make you more unhealthy. But coming back to your question, why is it necessary? It's because at this point, apart from these electromagnetic frequencies, there has been industrialization. There has been a lot of pesticides, herbicides, glyphosate, the list goes on and on, which really alter the chemical balance and really alter the cellular balance of your body.
Yeah.
And every time you introduce these substances, like let's say I had an avocado this morning, but there is no way I can have an avocado naturally here, right? The avocado probably flew from Mexico and maybe they were subsidized. Maybe there were some other fertilizers that went in from point A to point B to point C, and then I've had it. So at this time, my body already knows that that thing is not natural. It might be able to extract some nutrients, but it will still be in a state where it's confused. And when you add pesticides and all of these things to it, which we have no control over, it will destroy your health even more. So I don't, it's living healthy should be natural, but with the amount of craziness that we're surrounded by every day, and then you add to it that people are sitting 8 hours a day on a chair and people are not moving, they're disconnected from the earth. You know, we're wearing shoes all the time, we're not connected to, we're not getting enough sunlight. I mean, 90% of the people around the world spend 90% of their time outdoors. So, indoors. So that means we have completely disconnected ourselves from learning and sort of like being healthy in the more ancestral way. Mm. This is why you need latest scientific data.
Yeah.
You need a lot of these other things that biohacking brings in, whether it is technology, whether it's a practice, whether it's a, you know, it's an essential oil, like it could be anything. But all of those things are necessary in today's world to sort of give you that extra boost. And we haven't been desensitized to it. We're just busy doing a lot of other stuff. Like every moment right now, you're looking at me, I'm looking at you, we're hearing each other's voices. But at the same time, our environment is also speaking to us. Mm. It's giving us 11 million bits of information. And how much can your brain process? Probably 15 bits. So we have a lot of this information that is coming in. Now, we aren't even being targeted by any advertisers at this point. We have our phones away, so we are not getting any notifications. It is still a lot of information that's coming in.
Mm.
And for our brain to filter all of that out, it's a very big task. So what your brain's primarily designed to do is only to get 11 bits of information and pass it through a certain channel. So we have different parts of our brain, right? Mm. The fear or the emotional center of the brain is called the amygdala. And this is the part of the limbic brain which sort of analyzes all of the data that's around you, like whether it's someone walking, it's a random guy on the street walking behind you, or there's a car moving towards you, which is very fast. And the way evolution has shaped us to be fully functional, and that's why Homo sapiens sapiens have been able to survive, is because of that amygdala. So all of the thoughts that come in through that emotional center first, and then it goes up to the logical centers of your brain, such as the prefrontal cortex. Yeah. So most of the times we're only getting information, or we're only processing information. That sort of like stresses out in some way, whether it's the bills to pay, whether it's like some excitement, things to do. So it's like all of those emotional experiences. That's why I think we don't really tune in to our body. We don't really take the time to understand it. And trust me, I've been biohacking for many years and I still don't understand my body, but I'm not going to spend 8 hours a day sitting in a cross-legged position under a tree trying to understand my body when I can have technology do that for me. Technology isn't going to make any mistakes. Like I mentioned, I wear this ring called the Aura ring, and I can sit down with you and tell you like which pattern my heart is beating right now. And I can see from data that if it goes around a certain beats per minute or a certain heart rate variability, it might be alarming for some things. It might be better for some things, like it might be better for sports performance. It might be better for cognition. But if it goes in a certain number, I need to take a check on myself and see, okay, maybe am I too stressed? Haven't I not slept well? Like I would, like I also have a podcast and it's called Shift with CJ. Sometimes I've had to cancel podcast appointments when my heart rate variability, which is basically the function of your autonomic nervous system, it tells you how stressed or not stressed you are. And if I wake up in the morning and I see that my heart rate variability is super low, there are times I've canceled gym, I've canceled my podcast because I know I'm not going to be 100% there. There's something in my biology that's not working right. So I'll fix it first and then I'll be more present, because there's a concept we call hormesis. And hormesis means when you stress yourself a little bit, your body actually adapts to it. That's a positive stressor. So if you let's say eat something spicy, the spiciness in most of the spices comes from capsaicin. And capsaicin is a way to stress your cells a little bit. So if you have a little bit spicy food and you can't tolerate it, next time you'll be a bit better because your cells will get the resilience to match that hormetic stressor. But when you don't do it and that stress goes way beyond the hormetic stress, then you find problems. And this is why I think technology, and coming to your question, like this is why I think technology can be one of those things that can help us not self-regulate, but be more aware of ourselves, because we have other stuff to deal with. And those things take a lot of our energy and brain processing capacity.
So I want to play the devil's advocate here. So I agree with a lot of what you said, but wouldn't the other side of the coin be, okay, so the whole point of combining or using technology to become more self-aware, that's, we understand that, that it's very helpful. But wouldn't the flip side of the coin be you get too dependent on it and you are becoming more and more reliant on something else that without it, you don't really understand it, right? So how long are you supposed to be relying on these technologies on your body?
So that's a very interesting question. And the answer to that question is yes and no, both at the same time. And let me explain myself. When we get reliant on technology, or let's say when we AKA be very dependent on technology, what happens is technology takes over our life. Now, let's say we use the same example, like a biofeedback device, like the ring I mentioned. There were times where I have seen some low scores on my ring, and this was like some years ago. And I was like, oh man, you know, I've got such low scores today. My sleep has been horrible. Today is not going to be a great day. That is called depending on technology to tell you, okay, you know, how it's going to be. Now, a lot of people will fall into that trap.
Yeah.
But the reality is that your body is way powerful than any technological measure that can come along, right? So at this point, and this is a beginner's mistake that a lot of people, including myself, we make as well. Technology can guide you in a certain way. It can tell you what's really going on, because you cannot count your heartbeats and you cannot count your heart rate variability. So it can be a measure of just self-reflection, of showing you what it is. But it is not something that, and what happens is with a lot of these self-monitoring devices, you sort of understand, you learn, you prime your brain or your nervous system or your brain cells to sort of understand, okay, every morning that I wake up and I feel like this, this means my, you know, this, and then I see my data and be like, oh, okay, perfect. This state means it's like this. So now there are times where I don't even use my ring or I won't even use the device, but my mind already understands that this thing means this. Mm. This is the same thing, like if, to put it in a more simpler definition, it's when you start calorie counting, right? You start calorie counting, you don't have any idea about calories. You're weighing the foods down, you're putting all the numbers, and then the app or the calculator is telling you, okay, what's, and you're dependent on the technology at that point. Fast forward 2 months, and anyone, I bet anyone who's really seriously done calorie counting every day for 2 to 3 months, they can, with very precise 10% margin error, tell you, even on the days that they don't have the calculator or the app, what are the calories they're eating. And they can just look at a food and tell you, it looks like this is 25 grams and this might have 100 calories and it would be subdivided into 10 carbs and 5 protein. So that's how your body learns as well and your brain learns as well. So technology is a tool. It'll help you understand what you're capable of. And once you have sort of like made those neural rhythms, you don't really need technology.
Yeah.
You don't need it. But it's like getting, you know, going to a course and meeting a teacher, like meeting a meditation teacher. At first, you don't really know what meditation is. You don't know how do you feel, how do you act, and what do you have to do. But the meditation teacher will guide you through it and they will tell you exactly this is how it has to be. And you train with them for a month or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Do you need your meditation teacher all your life? No, because now you have equipped yourself with the knowledge, the wisdom and the experience and the feelings, emotions, so many things that will help you like go in that direction. So yeah, relying on technology, not a good idea. Using technology
as a tool,
would probably be the best way to go.
Right, got you. So tell us a little bit about the background of biohacking. So with the little knowledge that I know Ayurveda is about 6,000-year-old science. And what I love about that is they pay attention to the composition or like different body types, Vata, Pitta, Kapha. And based on that, you can, the whole concept of that is bringing yourself into a state of balance. So would you say biohacking is following that same principle or is it different?
It is different because in biohacking, you're not trying to achieve balance. Most of the people who are really going to biohacking are the people who have worked their butt off and they have burned out, and people who have gone into, you know, alcoholism, or people who have gone into very dark states that they cannot come out of. You wouldn't have a lot of like super healthy people telling yourself like, hey, I'm going to biohack. Like there are some people, but most of the people in that industry will either look for peak performance. So you have busy executives, which have, you know, okay, I sleep for 5 hours a day and then I'm working for the rest. And how can I sleep for 4 hours a day and like get one more extra hour? So this is the sort of people who are sort of, and with Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine, yes, it is about coming to yourself, coming to the center, coming to the balance and living life in the most
efficient,
peaceful, harmonic way. But do people these days really want to do that? I bet not, because according to all of these things, you are supposed to, you know, just go around the field, do some work, come back home, spend time with your family, do some religious or cultural, spiritual work. And that's the only energy you need. And you live till a certain point and you die. But what is biohacking or people in the biohacking industry trying to do? They're trying to extend their lifespan. Like I've even, there's a newspaper in India that published that I wanted to live till 150. And you know, that's not a balance. You want to push your limits. And only when you want to push your limits, you sort of get into this whole technology and you're looking into, and yeah, you look at Ayurveda and you look at Chinese traditional medicine and all of these things, because they have like the basic knowledge of how to first get to balance. And then you sort of see, okay, what were, okay, you want to see what the people in the village were doing.
Yeah.
But then you also want to see what was the king doing and what were the elite soldiers doing? Because I bet you in every practice, they weren't doing the same things.
So would you say that just, okay, so talking about people who want to get into like a peak performance. Let's just take that as an example. So you go through this biohacking or you use these certain tools and you get to that point. But wouldn't there also be a counterproductive side to it maybe later down the line? So just a simple example, before we started this podcast, you were telling me how you were detoxing from coffee, right?
Yep.
But wouldn't you say drinking coffee is also biohacking? If let's say you're feeling very lethargic, then you would drink coffee to feel more energized. Would you say that's biohacking? But now, if you were to drink coffee every single day, that will be counterproductive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is your take on that in with the context of biohacking?
So as I mentioned in the podcast before, biohacking is an umbrella term. Now, if you're looking at just coffee, right? Everyone in the world, coffee is one of the most consumed beverages. It's actually one of the most addictive drugs on the planet.
Stimulants, right? Yeah.
And a lot of millions and millions of people are using it every day. Would I say that they're biohacking? Probably not. But I know that coffee by itself, for some people, gives you a lot of jitters. There's a compound which you mostly found in green tea, which calms your brain and nervous system down. That is called L-theanine. Now, if I wanted to have a lot of coffee but not feel jittery, and I wanted the balance effect of coffee, I would put L-theanine to it. Let's go further. I know that caffeine can move through blood cells, but it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier very fast. Okay? And it doesn't cross something called the myelin sheaths, which are these insulated wires in our brain. And it doesn't cross that very fast. But what if I added a coconut oil or a fat source to that coffee? And then let's continue. Maybe I know that, you know, coffee has got this very effect of, you know, kind of, it's like a stimulant. It makes you very productive. What are some of the other productive things that pair well with coffee? Maybe I'll try something like a cordyceps mushroom or a lion's mane mushroom, which has shown to increase brain-derived neurotrophic factor. So what I'm trying to say is, when we add all of these other compounds, now I gave you a compound that came from green tea. I gave you a compound that comes from nature, like butter or ghee or coconut oil. Then is coffee. Then is something else. Then maybe I have some other like substance which I could use in my coffee, right? When I combine all of these things, then I can say that I'm biohacking, because having coffee is just like everyone does it. Like everyone, the whole world is doing it. Are they getting any benefits from that coffee? Or if drinking coffee can give you a 20% boost, how can you give yourself a 200% boost? It is a stacking of all of these subtle nuances. Something like, you know, well, let's talk about Ayurveda. There's a compound called Bacopa Minori or Brahmi, which is also shown to increase the neural activity in your brain. It helps in brain plasticity, which means your brain can start learning much faster. Now, would drinking a coffee and having Bacopa Minori at the same time do a good thing? Yes, of course it would. And that's when you come to biohacking.
Got you.
You know, and you can take this example with everything. We just took a coffee example, but like you could take it to exercise, you can take it to movement, you can take it to breathing, you can take it to like all domains.
Mm.
So just doing something doesn't mean you're biohacking. But getting all of these things that is tried and tested and mixing them together to get more ROI on the same amount of time you spend to drink coffee will probably give you better. And we're talking about perfect people. We haven't even spoken about people who have dementia or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, all these brain diseases. And what would coffee plus all of these things that already we know boost brain health would do for them? So that's when biohacking comes in. You need to see on how you can combine a lot of these other things that are available and a lot of people do know about it with something that you're regularly doing.
And tell us a little bit about, okay, so now we talked a little bit about things that we can ingest, right? So what about other types of biohacking that has nothing to do with what you take in? What would that be?
Do you want to know a complex list or you want to know like a simple list? But I think we should go over a simple list.
So
give
me an example or a client story, let's say. I'm sure you worked a lot with people. So give us a little bit of your success stories.
Okay, so for me, what I normally advise people to do is to start off with the most simple things. And by simple things, I think the human body is like a giant battery that's running on this earth.
Mm.
It has been scientifically proven that we can store energy, we can process energy. And every time you have, anyone would have any sort of problem, whether it's brain health, whether it's heart problems, whether it's metabolic syndromes, it is all to do with the way your body is either creating or absorbing energy.
Hmm.
What I mean by that is one of the first things that I tell people to do is that most of us are disconnected from the earth. Most of the times we're all wearing our rubber shoes and, you know, we're always like in buildings and in houses and we don't really walk on. And when you talk to any holistic health practitioner, they will always bring this term called grounding or earthing.
Yeah.
And what it is really is that every second there are 100 bolts of lightning strikes on this planet. And every lightning strike, in fact, is full with electricity.
Mm.
And this electricity can reach up to 1 volt, can reach 1 million volts of electricity striking this planet every second. What does that mean? It means 3 million lightning strikes every day. And what happens is that all of these lightning strikes they go into the Earth's crust and they charge the Earth with something called as negative electrons.
Mm.
And there has been a lot of scientific data on this, and the yogis were using this, you know, more than 10,000 years now. And because we didn't have shoes, right? Everyone was just
walking barefoot.
And it just, you can go, if you're in Dubai, you can go to the beach, you can go to your garden and remove your shoes. As long as your hands or your feet have these special receptors that can absorb these negative electrons. And what happens? Your cell has an electrochemical gradient.
Mm.
It's about minus 20 millivolts.
Mm.
And every time you're next to technology or you're next to, you know, you're just living an unnatural life, the electricity, the positive electricity increases in your body, and especially outside the cell. So what happens is your cell loses a lot of this electrical charge.
Mm.
And when it loses a lot of these electrical charge, all these disease states start coming in. So one natural biohack that you can start doing today is to go outside, remove your shoes for 22 minutes. And why I say 22 minutes is because it takes about 22 minutes from the time you touch the ground, and if you stay on the, or even if you're walking, for that electrical impulse to move from your red blood cell, one red blood cell, circulate your entire body and come back to that point.
22 minutes.
22 minutes. So if you have to do this, the minimum effective dose is 22 minutes. Now, I know people are busy. I have a podcast. I'm busy most of the times. And I can't do it outside. But I have this special tech. It's a special mat which connects one of the power coil goes straight into my garden.
Uh-huh.
And it's got a wire and it comes straight into my room where I do the podcast. And I'm standing barefoot on it. And that's giving me the same negative electrons directly from the Earth's crust. So this is a way of biohacking using ancestral wisdom, using modern technology, combining the both and living your best life.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
This is one. Second thing that we spoke about this in the beginning of the podcast, our body is this battery, right? And this battery is charged by food, by water, which is the food and water we eat and drink so we get energy. And the third most underutilized component is light. And when I say light, our bodies really have not just photoreceptors in our eyes, but also on our skin. And you know how plants do this photosynthesis thing? They use light energy and they convert it into like nutrients. Mm-hmm. Our body is able to do that too. So we are a human photosynthesis machine. And the way we do that is by absorbing photons of light in the day from the sun. Now the sun has a huge spectrum of light. It has UVA, UVB, UVC. UVB is the one we use make vitamin D from.
Mm-hmm.
Near infrared, far infrared, mid infrared. It's got a lot of those, right? But the two spectrums of light that have been shown to increase cellular energy, increase wound healing, reduce pain, like relief from symptoms from arthritis is the light that you get first thing in the morning and first thing in the evening. That is why sun gazing in all traditions and cultures have been valued in one of the top of the totem pole. In almost all ancient tribes, they will start waking up early in the morning and look at the sun as it was a source of energy. And even in the evening, for everyone who cannot wake up in the morning, if you go to the beach in Dubai and you see sunset in the evening, you will have this whole reddish color. And that red comes from 615 nanometers of, well, it's a way to measure light. It's measured in nanometers. So it comes from 615 nanometers of light. And there's another spectrum that you cannot see, which goes anywhere between 810 to 815 nanometers of light. That is called infrared light. When combined, red and near infrared light can increase your blood flow. It also charges. So within our cells, there is a certain organelle. It's called the mitochondria. Mm-hmm. And the mitochondria is responsible for all the energy production in our body, more than 95%. Well, if you don't eat, you might survive. If you don't breathe, you might survive. If your mitochondria stop working for less than a second, you're going to die. And that is why cyanide kills people so fast, because it interrupts the mitochondrial respiration.
That is so fascinating.
And the two things that recharges the mitochondria, within the mitochondria, there are four units. And one of the most important units to produce energy is called cytochrome C oxidase. And cytochrome C oxidase has got a photoreceptor. It captures red and near infrared light. And millions and billions of mitochondria that are in our body, they communicate using biophotons, which means bioregulatory photons of light, which are red in color. So you see, this red and infrared light combination is one of the best things you can do to anti-age. And I'm not talking about something that will be around like in Dubai, like 10, 11 or 12 p.m. Nothing like that. Something that comes on at 6:30 to 7 when the sun's first rising.
Yeah.
And you know, in so many traditions, they say, look at the sun.
Sun, yes.
And the way it works is that sunlight is charging the mitochondria, which are in your eyes. And those mitochondria are talking to millions of mitochondrial network in your body, and they're sort of providing them with energy. This is the ancestral part, right? Everyone knows going up in the morning is good and going in the evening is good. But what if someone has a job and they're not, like shift workers, or someone who has a job who are not able to experience that power of light? What can you do then? Well, and full disclosure, I'm working on a company who is building this technology right now. And we have these panels which sort of emulate the sun's energy by only focusing and taking red and near infrared light and supercharging it into your cells. So it's a panel that you stand in front of, and you can stand in front of it for 2 hours, and that will give you 2 hours worth of standing in front of the sun without getting burned, without getting all the negative things that you get from the sun damage and things like that. Again, very interesting concept. You have this ancestral data. You have this anecdotal data that people say they go wake up in the morning, they feel so great. And then you have technology. And then you see, how can you mix ancestral wisdom with modern science? And here you have biohacking.
Amazing. This is what's coming to my mind is there's so much to know about this. And this is something that our ancestors perhaps knew, but obviously they didn't have the technology for it. But now in this day and age, we have the wisdom and we have the technology. So how do you see the future or the future of wellness transforming because of this?
Okay, so wellness currently, like a lot of people like Illuminations, like a lot of organizations like Illuminations are looking at a very holistic way. But honestly, if you take 10 people on the street right now and you go ask them about their idea of wellness, all they're going to tell you is that they have to struggle, go to the gym, try to lose weight, or
meditate
for
30 minutes.
I would be surprised if someone says meditation, because most of when it comes to wellness and health, all people can think of is some kind of a fad diet, going to the gym and doing things that they don't like going to the gym, running, or you know, lifting weights, or doing things that sort of takes them out of their comfort zone, which doesn't really give them what they want, but they think that is wellness. And the way I see wellness moving forward in the next 5 or 10 years is that we're going to be working with a lot of technology.
Mm.
And according to me, there's going to be a lot of minimum effective dose of biology. What is minimum effective dose? Is that we know that going to the gym for an hour, hour and a half, a lot of like fitness trainers or influencers will tell you like working out twice a day and 2 hours a day is very good. But with science, with precise data, we can show that working out for 12 minutes, and I tell this to all my clients, and I've had great success stories with this, 12 minutes, 2 days a week can probably get you in better shape than a lot of these other crazy workouts that you might be doing.
No way.
Yeah. And this is very, and it's very important for people who are above 50s and 60s because their body is giving up on them. They have never taken their health very seriously. They cannot go to the gym and work for 2 hours a day. It just won't happen. Young people might be able to do that, but there are other repercussions of that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of joint damage. There's a lot of, you know, these crazy supplements that people are using that is sort of damaging their health and their mind. But we have to look at populations which need this the most.
Yeah.
And there are ways to sit at your home and do some kind of a fitness routine for 12 minutes or 15 minutes or 10 minutes. And that sort of will accelerate and give you more benefits. So that is why we call it minimum effective dose. So what's the most minimum you can do?
And get the most benefit.
And get the most benefit. You don't have to be a peak performance. Like 12 minutes a day will not let you win in a competition. But it will give you the same sort of, like it will give you enough benefits for you to live a healthy life.
Wow.
When you talk about meditation, a lot of people say, you know, you should meditate for 5 or 10 minutes per day. But really, meditating 5 to 10 minutes a day doesn't give you much.
Mm.
It doesn't. If you're looking at alpha brainwave activity, the minimum time it'll take your brain, unless and until you're a very highly experienced meditator and you can calm your brain down very fast, we're looking at 15 minutes minimum until your brain reaches that alpha brainwave activity. And I know this because I have EEG scanners at my house and I use brainwave frequencies and brain entrainment on myself every day. Even for me, it takes a long time.
Mm.
But I have this device, which is based on the last 40 years of research on light, sound, and frequencies. And what they do is that it's a headphone.
Mm.
So you wear the headphone and there is a guy who's working on this for the last 30 years. They're guiding you through a visualization. There are binaural beats. So are you familiar with binaural beats?
Yeah, yeah.
So there are binaural beats and there's 10 cycles of holographic music. There is isochronic music. All of these things that are designed to put your brain without you even trying into alpha, theta, even delta brainwave activity.
Mm.
And if you sit with a master, these guys would probably be able to do it. But if the average person, we're not talking about masters here, the average person would not be able to do it.
Yeah.
In the headphones, there are lights. And which lights? Blue light that comes in the day and red light that comes from either campfire or that sunlight at in the evening. And they're using the traditional Chinese ear meridian channels to push that light into the brain. So depending on what program you're playing, and there's about 1,000 programs, they can reduce your brainwave activity. So everything is going together. Then you have like a sort of like a visor that comes on your eye. And what they have shown is that a lot of experienced meditators will tell you, okay, look at that fire and sort of like keep looking and then turn your head away. That'll help you with meditation. Yeah. But what they're telling you is that look at something that is flickering at 10 hertz per second. So you close your eyes, you put this visor on, and you have these LEDs, which are flashing lights at 10 hertz frequency combined with the ear lights that are going in. So the left eye is matching the right ear and they're flashing in a sync.
Yeah.
Right. And depending on which brainwave part you want to go to, like you want to go, sometimes people want to go to gamma brainwave, which is upwards of 100 hertz.
And you can just hack this.
You can hack it. All you have to do is close your eyes and sit down. Now, is that something that we should run away from? Maybe not.
Mm.
Is that something that we should explore? Yeah, maybe yes. Mm. But is there something that we should depend on? Definitely not.
But you can see how easily you can get dependent on it.
Yeah. And then you see, and the thing is, all of these things teach your body how to get into that state. So a person who's never experienced meditation and you tell him like, okay, come into this room, we'll lock you for 2 hours and just close your eyes, the person will never be able to do it. But if you give them this piece of tech, 20 minutes, and you're done. And, you know, it's, we're using all of these things, like using ancestral wisdom, modern science in our everyday, like you and me right now. If you guys can see us on the video, we're surprisingly wearing the same chain on our hands. And this is something called the Rudraksh, which is a certain, it's a seed of a tree that
I think it's called Ilarpis Genitris, something like that.
I don't know who names these trees, but it's always so complex.
Yeah.
But this by itself has shown to influence electromagnetic radiation and even, you know, some esoteric traditions will also call that, you know, it helps you with evil eye and it helps you with all of those things. But what data I have seen is that it helps you with this, making also this peripheral field around your body and it helps you sort of absorb, not absorb, but like reflect all of these electromagnetic frequencies that are coming onto your body.
Yeah.
So every time I go onto a place, I'll always have something like a Rudraksh or like the biogeometrical pendant that I'm wearing. So it's all taking all of that knowledge from all those times and then using it in your modern day life.
Absolutely.
And not making it so hectic, because you can do a lot of biohacking, which is like injecting peptides and sitting in front of like, you know, putting these old EEGs, which also a lot of people do, including myself. And it makes life a lot complex.
Yeah.
But going out in the sun, taking deep breaths, holding your breath, removing your shoes from time to time, drinking clean water.
Mm.
It doesn't take long.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of awareness I want to bring to people. And that is why I started the Shift with CJ podcast, because I have been in the fitness, wellness, the traditional fitness industry for the longest period of time.
Yeah.
I could, after training crazy for so many years, I could run faster than anyone I knew. I could jump higher than anyone I knew. Quote unquote, achieved all the parameters of an elite fitness that one could ever achieve.
All through biohacking.
Not through biohacking. So this was before biohacking. I got through all of these parameters and then I had this question. I was like, is this it? Like, yeah, struggling for 3 to 4 hours in the gym, like, you know, working out 3 times a day, getting to that point and be like, is this it? I'm not sleeping very well. My hormones are messed up. I'm not thinking right. I am getting so angry.
That's such a powerful point to bring about.
Yeah. And you're just like, if this is what peak performance feels like, and you're also bound to this thing that if you don't practice, if you don't do the same thing day in and day out, you're going to lose it.
Yeah. If you don't have consistency,
you're going to lose it. Yeah. So if I go for vacation, I'm not going to be like the fastest and the strongest. Yeah, but if I train every day, I might be able to. So that's where I sort of like started looking at health and wellness in a different way, because I wasn't focusing on my brain health. Mm. I wasn't focusing on my sleep. I wasn't focusing on my hormones. I wasn't focusing on the way my heart is responding, how calm my mind is. And that sort of like led me to ask greater questions. Okay, this is what people, and including myself, I thought fitness and health was, but this is not really it.
Yeah.
How does simple things like praying every night or writing a journal or talking to a loved one or hugging someone make a change in your biology? These are the questions that I went after, and to assist me with this, I started looking for answers from the best of the best in the world. And that's why I created the Shift with CJ podcast. And the only thing on the Shift with CJ podcast is that I'm learning from masters in their field or people who are inspiring the world to do something new. And yeah, it's just been a journey from there, and like just teaching that, learning from them, teaching other people. And it's not always biohacking. I've had cardiologists. I've had some people who have, you know, created some technology, some people who are therapists, some people, but these people have done something really good. And I could learn a lot from them, implement into my life and implement into the lives of others that I will touch in the future.
And I think it all then comes down to awareness. Because the kind of lifestyles that we live it's all based on what we see other people are doing and just kind of force of habit, right? Mm-hmm. But it's only when you have the awareness, like, and because of you and the work that you do, you get the awareness out there. And I'm so happy that we got to have this conversation. And I could go on and on about talking about this topic forever.
Yeah, two podcasters can never shut up.
So before we come to an end, unfortunately, our time has run up. Ricky's giving me the signal for the past.
We're gonna cut it
short. So before we end this, just very shortly, any other tips that you would like to give our viewers to end the session with? In terms of emotional management, let's tackle that.
Okay, for emotional management,
yeah,
get a very big hit of oxytocin, which is this neurohormone, and it's a neuropeptide that comes when you're surrounded by people. So it would be ridiculous, but every time you meet someone, well, if it's safe to do so with this whole COVID thing, give them a hug. Hold their hand, look into their eye, because the more closer you are to them, the more you are in their bioenergetic field, you're already transmitting this huge magnetic waves that sort of will calm your senses down. The other thing is that every time you hold someone's hand or hug someone, there is a lot of... So as humans, we tend to, you know, always look out for safety.
Yeah.
And you can emulate that safety when someone's holding your hand, or even you're very close to someone, or when you're sleeping, just take some weighted blanket. Put some weighted blanket on yourself and you will have like the best night of sleep, because that weight just emulates someone hugging you, and that increases like the whole safety aspect in your brain. And you know, that's good on the emotional part. Other thing that I would say is sleep. A lot of people would ignore this thing and everyone wants to push, burn two ends of the candle. But if you can give yourself at least 8 hours of sleep every night, trust me, every parameter of your life, every parameter will get better. So try to sleep and make sure that nothing comes. And this is the biggest biohack that I would like to give everyone. Make sure you sleep well. Now you can have, you know, lavender essential oils, or you can have these other mandarin essential oils. You can rub them on these other different parts of your body. You can have a hot bath an hour before bed. That also lowers your core body temperature down. You can decrease the temperature in your room so it becomes more cool. People tend to go into more deeper states of sleep when they're in a cold atmosphere. These would be some of the basic tips. If you want to add in some supplement, try getting like a reishi, which is a natural mushroom-based extract. So you can try that. And then just go outside more, laugh more. Laughing is one of the best things you can do, and it's for free. There are so many stand-up comedies on Netflix. You don't have to go through all the craziness. Just watch something, laugh, and bonus tip, it also burns a lot of extra calories. So yeah, some of those basic things. And remember the grounding and the sunlight.
Thank you so much, CJ. So where can people find you?
So you can find me on, most of the people use Instagram these days. So you can find me on Instagram. My account is Shift with CJ. My podcast is called Shift with CJ. You can find me on all social media channels. I do a lot of YouTube videos as well. You can find those at Shift with CJ. Or if you wanted to get a hold of me, a lot of my details are on shiftwithcj.com.
Wonderful. So thank you so much, CJ, for being with us here today. And thank you to all our viewers who has tuned in with us today and listening to our podcast. I will see you next time with another speaker and another topic. Till then, take care and live light.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.